listening to The Couples Guide Podcast.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Talia.
We're both licensed marriage and family therapists, and today,
like every day,
we're debunking myths and delivering truth about dating, relationships, and everything in between.
Trust us.
It's awesome.
Jealousy, man, that gets in such a way with people.
It really does.
What a rough one. That's why we want to talk about it. Episode 77.
Mm-hmm.
Damned up with jealousy.
Yes.
Yeah, this kind of came out of actually last episode when we were talking about repack your baggage. So if anyone hasn't listened to it, these are fairly similar themes. The kind of tandem, if you will. But wanting to do more of a deeper dive in what goes on in relationships when one partner feels jealousy. Mm-hmm. It's a common, appropriate, natural emotion.
Yes.
And how do we manage those situations when it rears its head? And instead of letting it jam up your relationship, how do you notice it, work through it, talk about it in a constructive, positive way?
Yeah. And I think starting with some kind of ground rules or definitions rather would be the better way to put it.
Yeah.
Differentiating, like we chatted a bit before recording, the difference of jealousy and envy. Sometimes they do go together, which I'll talk about in just a second. And also there's like a continuum or a spectrum of jealousy. Uh-huh. It is natural. It is a human emotion. It shows that we're attached to somebody. There's healthy levels of it, right? Which we feel like, didn't love that, but I can tolerate it and bring it up to my partner versus like, jealousy, possessiveness, controllingness. That's not necessarily what we're going to talk about on today's episode, though there are extreme levels of jealousy that do look like controlling and possessiveness. That's definitely unhealthy. And that is separate from what we're talking about. If that's occurring in your relationship, this episode is not for you.
Yeah.
I would recommend going to some counseling over that, but we'll start with the difference between jealousy and envy, because they are often conflated in, I think, the lexicon that we use. So jealousy is related to a fear of someone taking something that you perceive to be yours in a relationship's case, someone that you've agreed upon that you are in a relationship with, right? We are in a healthy, committed, monogamous relationship. I'm not seeing anybody else or putting my parts near anybody else. You're not seeing anybody else or putting your parts near anybody else. That's our agreement, right? So it's not only a perception that your mind. It's not about an ownership. It's we've come to this agreement that we're each other's partner. And separate from that, envy is the belief that somebody else has something that you lack. So this could be a skill, a trait, an external appearance, a certain quality about them. I often see these go hand in hand. It's hard for me to imagine an example of us feeling, and actually no, because there are times where it's about love language or attachment style, which we'll touch on today. But typically if I'm jealous of another person, right? If I'm jealous that a girl's talking to my guy, is it something, am I envious of something she has that I perceive myself to not have, that I perceive myself to lack? Or is it somebody where I'm like, oh yeah, it's like his sister or his mom or like a cashier at Ralph's or something where like, there's no need for me to be envious of that person. And there's no need for me to be jealous of, they're not threatening my relationship. But that's where like, again, some love language and attachment style stuff in quotes could come up. So that's, I think, the good foundation to work from is differentiating jealousy and envy. And yes, there are times where they go hand in hand. That's often the case in relationships. I'm envious of this hot girl or hot guy that you're talking to, or this guy's rich, or this person has emotional communication language skills that I don't have, and I'm envious of them, and I'm jealous that they're taking time away from our relationship. That's how I see it. Would you add anything?
Well, I would just point out that, like you said, how sometimes these get conflated. It's because you can feel these things so close, and particularly when envy is present, that is going to then increase the level of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting that. I just want to like make that super clear. It's like, mm-hmm. if you don't have envy for the person your partner's talking to, because you're not necessarily going, ooh, I want that, or I think I lack that, there probably won't be as strong of jealousy. But when envy is present and you feel some jealousy, then it's gonna like, they're gonna combine to do like, a huge major emotional experience where now you're feeling both and they kind of like feed and grow each other. I think that's just the main thing to point out, which is why it gets conflated. And it's why people, you know, aren't super clear about what the differences are. It's because in our brains and our hearts, it happens so fast. It just feels bad. Everything feels bad. But slowing it down and going, oh, well, part of it is actually, I can tell it's jealousy because I'm longing for that attention from my partner. And yes. I wish it was mine and not that they were giving it to someone else. But then it's really strong because I'm also envious of what my partner's giving their attention to. Cause I don't see my, like, I wish I had that. I wish I had those traits. So then it just kind of exponentially grows. So I think that's it, just to show the relationship between the two and why they are so connected.
Absolutely. And I think when we talk about jealousy, it can be a good indicator and let us know that we really love or enjoy the person that we're with, again, specifically for relationships in this case. We could touch on friendships a bit too, because again, quality time is a love language. We can feel jealous that our partner's spending a lot of time with their friends instead of us. And it's not like, oh, I think you're hooking up with them. It's just like the quality time piece. But jealousy lets us know we're afraid of losing the person that we're with, that we really enjoy being with them. Right? That deep down, there is something very positive about that relational dynamic that we benefit from. And so we don't want to lose, or we don't want to not be with the person that we're having those feelings of jealousy over. Yeah. And I think they also illuminate, or I do think, yeah, they highlight kind of our sense of this perception that we have of control of our other person that we're in a relationship with, right? It's like, I have this desire to control or to possess, in, again, this case, a healthy way. Like, I have monopoly over this person's time because I'm their primary partner, kind of a feeling that we desire to possess them. And I think having a healthy relationship with ourselves lets us be able to notice, like, ooh, okay, why am I feeling jealous of my partner's friends? I'm not envious of them. I don't think they're a threat to the relationship. I don't think my partner's cheating. Like, what is going on here? Oh, I'm not getting as much time with them as I used to. I'm not getting as much closeness with them as I used to. And I see it being given to someone else. We can feel bested or second best to, like, deprioritized to whatever our partner is choosing to put ahead of the relationship as well, and be jealous of that.
Which is an experience that I think highlights what I consider one of the most important things to look at with jealousy, which is insecurity. I think that, yes, jealousy only shows when you care, right? You're not jealous of things or people that you just don't care about.
True.
When you start investing in caring, then it's vulnerable. And if that's vulnerable, then you can get very quickly to a place of insecurity. And so if anyone's noticing, feeling some jealousy in their relationship or their partner is, that would be the first thing I would start exploring, asking. It's like, well, so what are we insecure about? And what you were talking about, like with the friends, as you said, like maybe there's less attention, it's not there. It's a subconscious threat to the relationship.
Yes,
it's, oh no, in these moments when my partner's giving their attention to their friends or somewhere else, I'm like, oh, they're not giving it to me. Uh-oh, danger, danger. Does that mean we're not strong in a relationship? Does that mean they don't actually care about it? Does that mean that I'm not important to them, or whatever the insecurity could be underneath it? And also I'll point out, like, or I'll say again, that's natural. That's going to happen. It's just a common emotion. And like all emotions, it's not about not experiencing it. It's about, well, how do you manage it when it comes up? So it's not like, hey, don't ever be jealous. I know some people tend to feel that emotion more than others. It's more about, do you act like a toddler when you feel jealous? Do you act like an adolescent when you feel jealous? Do you act like a 40-year-old who's been around the block and kind of knows how to deal with it? Like, what level of maturity are you at? Yes. And what are those differences like? I mean, I don't necessarily think we need to, like, dive down what the differences are, like, on that stage, but that's the kind of thing to be looking at, is, you know, accept and appreciate that's an emotion, you care. It might be touching some insecurity. What is it? And then how do you choose to respond and deal with it? Do you throw a tantrum like a toddler, or do you address it?
Yeah. And I think that's where our, I think, episode can really highlight without needing to go into, we know what a tantrum looks like. I'm sure we've all seen a child. We've all seen a movie where it's exhibited. Like, we don't need to go into that. That is how it feels internally, though. So I want to highlight for our listeners, honor that. When your inner child or your something inside of you starts going, what the hell is going on here? I don't like this, right? It's kind of like the Arthur meme where like the fist is going, you're just like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Tune in and go, what's going on here? What am I truly feeling threatened by? Or what am I fearing is going to happen if this continues? And then that's when you can get quiet internally and go, oh, I'm feeling threatened that quality time is my love language and I'm not being prioritized. And if it's happening, I can just speak from experience. If it's happening continually, really take a look at what phase of life your partner is at, because that's an option in this case. Let's say like prioritizing friends, especially in, you know, like the teens to 20s, even early 30s decade, totally normal, really understandable and very relatable for many peers in that age group to be like, yeah, like my desires are to have fun, adventure, and friendships before I get old and have kids. You know, it's not abnormal at that phase of life for people to want to spend time with their friends. And if that's not, if you've kind of grown beyond that a little bit and you're looking to settle down and be with somebody who's like, that was all fun, but now I really want to spend more time with my partner, instead of being with the person where it's continually bringing up feelings of jealousy, and they're not doing anything wrong. They're spending time with their friends. They're still carving out date nights for you, but you'd like more. And that person's just not budging. It's a good sign to look inward and go, okay, is this then the kind of relationship that I'd like to be with, right? What are the other traits and qualities that I'm not feeling jealous or envious, or it's all positive emotions coming from them? And then can I temper that? Can I honor for myself, oh, this is coming up because my love language is quality time. And my partner's is, let's say, words of affirmation and quality time. It's not, but like quality time is our love language. And so it's physical touch that is more relatable for us. And we're on the same wavelength when we feel like, oh, we've actually been spending a lot of time with other people. Let's reconnect to ourselves. So I think to speak to your point of insecurity, is it an insecurity about a look or a trait that you have? Or is it, hey, I'm not getting my love language spoken to me and I don't feel connected to you in the relationship. So that's very worthwhile to bring up and say, hey, I have noticed my love language is quality time. When I experience less time with you, my brain doesn't feel as connected to you. My body doesn't feel as connected to you. And I feel insecure in our relationship because I don't feel loved. Is there something we can work on with that? Much more mature way than you never spend time with me. You're always with your friends. How could you, right? Inner tantrum for show. Like let that out internally and then deliver it nicely to your partner in an adult mature way.
Yeah. Because our jealousy and our insecurities aren't our partner's responsibility to manage. Mm-hmm. They can be of support. And if they're responsive partners, they can be with us while we're dealing with it, but it's not their job. That's our job if it comes up. And you're going through that role and giving some good examples of how to notice that jealousy, get curious, like, why is this feeling like a tantrum inside of me? And then I just want to add to that, then acknowledging, oh, there's something getting touched inside of me that I feel insecure about. What is it? What's that underlying need? Hey, that need to connect, that need to feel important. And if you share that softly with a responsive partner who's there, as I talk about all the time in this podcast, you do that, you're going to get that need met. And you're going to, instead of circle around the topic of, hey, you spend more time with your friends than with me, blah, blah, blah. Then you'll get to like, well, no, actually, like, I just need to be reassured that I'm important, that you matter, or that I matter to you. Mm-hmm. And spending time with me is a really, really important way that I feel that way. Can we talk about this? Can we see what's going on? And then you have that really nice connecting discussion. And oftentimes just taking that responsibility to go, oh, I feel jealous, I'm a little insecure. Let me share and ask for my needs to be met and turn to my partner for that. That alone creates a bonding moment between a lot of people. Like if you can turn and share that and your partner's responsive, boom. I mean, that's like what I do 90% of the time with couples in session with me is have them learn that skill. So if you can do that, like that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're responsible for our emotions and you can turn to your partner for support and to be with you in that. But we're the ones who are like, okay, cool. This jealousy thing's getting touched inside of me. What's going on? Mm-hmm. how do I constructively bring it to my partner so that we can be a team in it?
Mm-hmm. And I think we're more susceptible not only to feel more intense jealousy, but also to bring it to our partner in an attempt for them to fix it rather than I need some support with this. If we have low self-esteem, low self-worth, or an insecure attachment style, I think all three of those as like a trifecta would go hand in hand for I'm tantruming, I don't know how to handle this, and I'm going to control you and you stop doing this and then I'll feel better. And then we can go back to being in a good relationship versus I have good, healthy self-esteem, healthy self-worth, and I honor and acknowledge there's still things I don't like. There's things that make me feel insecure at times. And when my love language is threatened, no, thank you. I don't like that. And what we talked about a bit before too, if we're feeling, and to bring from last episode, if we're feeling jealous of a previous experience our partner had, or they're bringing up, I want to make this very clear as a public service announcement, to a certain level, it's okay to reference an ex partnership if it's in a constructive way, that's like a reminiscent way, not all the time. If they bring up their ex all the time, they're likely not over that person. But if they're sharing an anecdote of like, oh yeah, I remember years ago, one time I went with my ex to Hawaii, blah, blah, you know, it was really fun. And we liked this place. Maybe we can go next time we go. It's like, okay. If you view that ex as, or the previous person they were dating as a person in your partner's life, it's like part of their life history chart, if you will, and there's no connection, they don't talk anymore, they're sharing a memory, there's not a need. I can understand there's a feeling of, but there's not a need to be jealous. They're not currently with that person. There's no threat. So honor the pang that comes up of like, didn't love that. How could you ever have looked at somebody else before you met me? And we're together. I have no reason to doubt us. We're good. That's a feedback loop you can easily move through versus getting stuck in, like we talked about the baggage from last time. Well, I don't like that you ever dated anybody before me. Definitely a warning sign of insecurity that needs to be addressed by the person who's feeling insecure and supported by the partner of the insecure person.
Yeah. Exes can really bring this out. And the example you're giving, I like, where we're talking about the discussion of exes, knowing that, you know, unless you're in a relationship where you met someone, it's the very first partner you ever had, which does happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be pretty common these days that the person you end up choosing to be your forever human probably isn't the first person you're in a relationship with. It's how we learn and grow and do stuff, which means, yeah, we're going to be with people who had previous relationships. Mm-hmm. So, and if, again, the example you're saying where we're not like engaging with that other partner in the past, or it's not like you're like still dating multiple people. Like, so that's a different ball game.
Yeah,
that's different. And that's a different good discussion, but we're just talking about like, hey, it can generally just come up where, ooh, when I hear or I'm confronted with my partner's previous relationships, yeah, this doesn't feel super awesome all the time. Mm-mm. Some people, it's totally chill and have no jealousy feelings. I think it's more common that it's not necessarily pleasant to hear about. Correct. And then some people are on the other extreme where even hearing or knowing can get really, really reactive and painful in that jealousy. So kind of noticing where we're at in that is important. I think there's an important piece to that insecurity to highlight. It's kind of what I already said, but just in this context, good to remember that, let's say you're in like the real common space where, ooh, I don't like hearing about my partner's past relationships. It doesn't feel great. Getting clear with you, like, oh yeah, that's because I don't feel as special. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean that that's not accurate in your partner's life right now, but that tends to be what's going on when you feel a little bit of jealousy for your partner's past relationships, because it's a reminder like, oh, I am not this one and only per se. It's not necessarily pleasant to remember. What I would say to that is a very, the term is egocentric, but you know, it's a very self-centered view about what you're thinking about. If your partner shares something about a previous relationship, and what overwhelms you, what you think about is, ooh, I feel jealous. That feels bad. And even if you have some cool insight and go, because I don't feel important or special, it's like, I'm not the only one, all natural. And that means you're completely focused on your experience. I would encourage, Okay, but think about where your partner was at. They didn't know you then, or maybe they weren't available for you in relationship at that point. And there was a reason they were with this other person, or they were learning and growing. There's lots of things to remember, like, oh, yay, I'm glad my current partner actually had this connection with someone, and I'm glad it's over and they choose me.
Yes. So, reminding yourself who they're currently with, which is you, can be very helpful to circumvent getting stuck in that. I can't believe they ever dated anybody aside from, if you sit and think long enough, it's going to be uncomfortable. Don't do that to yourself. Right. And I speak from experience and relational experience over a long history with dating multiple people over my lifespan. When it came up the most was when I was not integrated as myself, when I hadn't done my own inner work, like I'm saying came up really intensely versus you have more life experience. You have at least a few relationships under your belt. You understand what it's like to have an ex either that you like, or you're like, I'm so glad to be out of that relationship. Like an ex you like, meaning like, oh, it's pleasant. We just weren't a good match, right? It's like this neutral experience versus, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm not dating that person anymore. You get some time and experience under your belt. The likelihood of being so jealous, it becomes like toxic, controlling, and it ends the relationship, is way less when you've done the work on yourself and you've moved through enough relationships to be like, yeah, I understand that's how life works. We are at a way different place in our life. This was a 5, 6, 7, whatever plus years ago that you're referencing this person. You haven't talked to them since. I'm pretty safe. Like there's no need for me to react this negatively. And again, if it is coming up so intensely, what has happened in your own history that would trigger or activate those intense feelings, right? Mm-hmm. Have you been cheated on in every relationship that you've been in, and your partner references, I don't know, when I heard a client, this was like three or four clients over my course of my whole like career have brought this up, that a partner mentioned when they were like in high school that they like hooked up with somebody else in their high school relationship, and they're like 40 now. Mm-hmm. And obviously like, there's no threat. They're a completely different person than they were in high school, but they were like, I don't know, it just felt weird. Like they were going through the premarital counseling book and you go over like, has infidelity ever come up in your relationships? And they mentioned it like, yeah, when I was 16, I kissed another girl at prom. And then like the partner's like, yeah, I think we're good. Like I'm okay. But some people were like, that doesn't work for me, because in previous relationships, they had really been like actively cheated on in their adult relationship. So it's not so much jealousy of another person, it's the threat part of jealousy, right? It's the threat part of what could go wrong. Are you going to become interested in another person? And I think that's where honoring, whoa, this is my feeling coming up for me. What can I sit with? And then what can I bring up to my partner for help? I need what I would really need, right? If I was that person, I need reassurance that's not going to happen again, or I need reassurance to hear what is different. How do you feel or think differently about our relationship? And often that can be the salve rather than trying to control, to fix, to this, to like, I need to see your passwords and find my friends. And like, don't let jealousy turn you into this insecure, controlling person that your partner doesn't even recognize, especially if you have not addressed with them that you're feeling jealous. Like if it turns to paranoia really quickly, there's a good chance your partner felt something or saw something. For those of you listening, like my partner's had a weird behavioral change recently. Could there have been an activation of that jealousy? Like, I feel threatened by this person. Like, who are you looking at your phone and laughing at while you're texting? You're not texting me. I don't know who else brings you joy, but it's certainly not me, right? Like, how do you approach that healthily is what I would bring up.
Yeah. Well, and I think that just goes to what we're saying. Notice that jealousy, understand the insecurity underneath it. What's that need? And then can you reach out softly without like a really harsh demand? But I, you know, again, the person feeling that, it's their responsibility to manage that. That being said, again, we encourage the teamwork and the connection to go through difficult moments together in relationship. And while we're all responsible for our own emotions, if your partner is struggling with jealousy, there is a good discussion to like, you know, support them and be, hey, so what are the things that tend to be hard for you? And if it is, you were talking about this earlier. If it is like, hey, anytime I mention a previous relationship, an ex, or having sex with someone else, If that does turn that on to my partner, that jealousy, it's not turn on. I mean, if that does turn up that like dial of jealousy, then cool. Then I can notice that and then be a little more intentional. Cause we're, I was enjoying maybe telling a fun story from a previous relationship without thinking how that would affect my partner. Cool. I now learned my partner doesn't like that. I don't need to tell that story. Maybe there's other things I need to share at different moments, different discussions that are, it's important for me to be understood about my past experiences, or there's a bigger topic and it's kind of important for me to relate this, then fine. There is a skill in supporting your partner with jealousy about, do they need to hear that or not? And that's different than withholding information. And it's different than like oversharing. There's a skill set there that we don't all have that can be developed in collaboration together. You can kind of talk with your partner and find what's the sweet spot for us. What's right for us?
Yes. And I had like a physical reaction. I was like, it's the withholding in line. Cause I've heard that from relationships too. Is like, you kept telling me you had a friend, blah, blah, blah. And one day it slipped that it was actually your ex. And now I'm doubly upset in one fold because you had all these experiences and you said it was a friend, and twofold, you lied the whole time and said it was a friend instead of an ex. Like, I don't know where to put all my feelings, bringing it up in neutrally. At one point I dated a person and boom, it honestly, for me, it's much easier to stomach hearing that. Even if it is the person's ex, that it actually gives proper time and context. There was a time in my life where I was with someone and we went to this, I can hear that and be like, okay, makes total sense, versus my ex, because honestly, like analytically what happens in the brain is we get pulled back to our previous relationship experiences. Mm-hmm. And if we have any unresolved stuff with our exes or a specific negative charge, right? Like a terrible ex we're very glad to be away from, a terrible ex who wronged us in some way. Our brain does this like mind meld in the moment with our partner, and we kind of project onto them what our ex relationship was, when in reality they could be like, we went on 2 dates, I just called them, or like we dated for 3 years in high school and they turned out that they didn't want to, like, it doesn't mean it has the same charge. So be very clear with the linguistics, right? At a point in my life, I dated a person who blank, or I was dating a person who, right? Previous, like framing it as I was previously dating someone who sounds less heavy sometimes, and still honest, right? Not withholding, still honestly addressing that that person was an ex. It was a previous connection, but I think making it in the past can be much easier for our partner to hear versus, and don't, please do not lie and be like, oh, it was just a friend. Because then every person I ever meet after that, I'm gonna be like, oh, were they just your friend? Okay, sure they were. Right.
Well, and that's where I think having this conversation with your current partner is so useful. Yes. Maybe you two agree that, all right, if it's not relevant, I need to know that it was a past relationship. Sure, use a friend. That could work for some couples. For others, it can feel very much like, no, now you're hiding these things about what you do with other people and claim friends. And I feel kind of like betrayed. That just hits that insecurity more. That's okay. But if you collaborate together on what feels right for us and be open and honest about it, then you're on the same page. And then if you ever get off the same page, you have a foundation of, well, we talked about this. Cool. Let's adjust. Let's turn the page. All good. New page. But it gives you that place instead of making assumptions for your partner. Because I think one of the things you're saying about like with the withholding and where that can be hard is those things tend to happen when people are actually trying to be caring about their partner's jealousy. Like, oh, well, I don't want to say the thing because they're going to be upset about it.
Right.
And they're trying to avoid a little bit of that conflict.
Yes.
But by doing so, they're, you know, if you withhold something and that's how that feels, it's going to feel just like a betrayal. It's going to feel just like the exact, it's going to exactly touch, or potentially exactly touch, the insecurity that already the jealousy is grappling with.
Yeah.
So have the conversation, talk it out, see what's up, and see, you know, come to some agreement as a couple about what works for us.
Yes. And I would also say, if your partner's getting jealous, because I had this once with a previous relationship where it was like, I would make a comment that like some celebrity was hot. Literally, there's no possible way that I would have ever met this celebrity, Channing Tatum. I would have met, unless he's listening to this episode.
Super hot.
I would love to meet you. But and this was like way early on, like a long time ago. And I was talking and he was on some commercial or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's so good looking. In passing, it's a comment. Like, in my opinion, a lot of people do this visually all the time. They don't just say it out loud. They just don't say it out loud. Like, we appreciate, we're, you know, as the old adage goes, like, you're in a relationship, you're not blind. Like, you can still think other people are attractive. And I made the comment, and I think I had said it about some other celebrity too, again, separate. And the person I was dating brought up, like, it makes me feel really insecure when you bring that up. And my reaction, not, I wasn't laughing at him. My reaction was almost like a laugh of disbelief. I'm like, what? Like, I wanted to, and I did tune in and listen, but in my head, I was like, I couldn't even fathom or conceive the thought that that would elicit such an insecurity, because again, I was projecting my own, you know, confidence maybe at the time of like, that would not threaten me at all. I don't know why you're feeling threatened, but it was an important lesson to learn, being mindful of how do we communicate, even if it's like, oh, that person's hot. Oh, she's hot. Oh, he's hot. Or, and if your partner is very secure in themselves or just like that oblivious and that doesn't bother them, then you're going to learn this and find this out along the way. That's not a first date question of like, if I think a celebrity's hot, would you like me to keep that to myself or share with you immediately? Like, you could ask that, but you'll find some of these, you'll find
some an interesting conversation, right? First date.
I mean, it would weed a lot of people out immediately. I would say that they're like, oh no, I would never want to hear that. I'd be like, yeah, then we can't date. Cause I think a lot of people are hot. I make that comment quite often, but how can you be with someone who, or while you're being with someone, you're going to come up with, you're going to realize certain activations that they have around certain topics or certain people. How artfully can you learn to navigate through them? I reference previous relational experiences I've had with my partner, but I frame it accurately. Like, I'm not saying I just frame it like this because it's easier. It's more true that I'm bringing up, hey, I'm feeling like I did in a previous relationship I had, and I don't like that feeling. And I'm having trouble not mixing that with you right now. My brain doesn't want you to be lumped into that category with this other person. I need help. I need reassurance. I need to have a conversation, or I just need to share with you, if I'm a little off today, I'm having my own reaction, my own PTSD response, what have you, it's not personal towards you. And he's like, okay. So I think it's how well do you stay connected in those moments, and can you self-narrate, I'm having a near experience from a previous relationship I was in. I'm not comparing you to that person. I'm sharing with you. I'm feeling the exact same thing I did at that time in my life, and I don't want to spill it out onto you. So I need some space, or so I need a hug, or so I need to talk through what I'm going through. Like, I believe you're allowed to reference it, especially when it comes to that, because your partner can hear that you have psychological distance from the person, and you're taking ownership of, it's my feeling, it's my thought, and I need to talk that through with you because you're my current partner, and my brain doesn't ever want to think about that other person again.
Yeah. No, it's a great example of responsibility, taking that ownership. And when sometimes you do have to talk about these things, and that's what I mean by like being, you know, kind of filtering, like, is it just a casual comment or an important conversation? This is a good example of an important conversation. Your example with noting hot celebrities actually made me think another thing about how important is just remember that we're different people. And this is true about every relationship topic, but this can be true in jealousy too, where when you're going through an example like that, I was thinking how it is, I agree with you that our brains, most of us will see, even while we're in relationship, a lot of other people as attractive. That's how most of our brains work. Okay, so let's say someone gets jealous at that. And in their brain, they're going, well, wait, no, when we're together, for me, that switch gets flipped off. I don't even see other people as sexual anymore. Okay, got it. Not common.
True.
But that's your experience. And maybe that's why then you feel, uh-oh, what's going on when my partner is seeing these other people as hot and is commenting about them or looking at them? What's going on there? Because I don't experience that. I'm not sitting there going, ooh, that person, you know, Channing Tatum, heck yeah. Like, you know, I'm not doing that. That's okay. Have these conversations, but also remember we're different. Remember we're different people. So that for one person whose brain is going, oh, cool, that's hot, that's cool, and I'm secure in our relationship, it's okay to do. That's fine. If your experience is different, when, you know, that switch gets turned off when I'm in a relationship, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. Have that conversation. Your experience of how you see things in other people could be very different than the other. And again, this is universal to like just any relationship dynamic. This is just a great example to bring it in for jealousy, where someone commenting, oh my gosh, Channing Tatum is so hot, does not mean you're not important to them, does not mean they're not into you, does not mean the things that it might mean if you said that. So get curious and talk about it and say that you're different and it can actually mean something different in relationship.
Absolutely. And knowing that the likelihood of attaining the person that they're mentioning is hot also, I think, should play a factor here. I try not to use the word should, but in this case, I will make an exception. That should play a factor, right? Oh, I think this random celeb, like, again, celebrities are a very good example. I could see this being different if they worked in PR and they met these celebrities frequently. Yeah, then it's like, okay, the fantasy can become reality. That's when that veil of jealousy is going to either be lifted or put down. That if they're referencing some obscure thing or they make a comment like, oh, that, you know, that girl looks nice today, or gosh, she has a nice body or whatever else. It's the natural, and I'm not saying people are objects, but the visual cues and objectification that human beings do to assess like match, not match, match, like evolution based, it's going to come up. And I'm not saying that your partner should, again, be doing this all the time. That's a different sign if they're like 5 to 10 times a day, they're constantly saying how hot other people are. That you need to take a look at. That's definitely a discussion. But if it's like a casual passing, you're in a movie, like this happened the other day, I was out to dinner with my family and my partner, and everybody in my family, men included, were like, that is the most handsome man I've ever seen. It was some server at this restaurant. Gorgeous, like a specimen, like so good looking.
Obviously, I was working that night. You're right. I remember I was working.
Like that was me. Sure. That was me. Yeah. He was chef's kiss, gorgeous. And in an isolated incident, a very fun topic. And my partner's like, okay, like very, very secure. He's one of the most secure people I've ever met. He was like, okay, like, I know you're not going to leave me for the server, so I think we're good. Like, there's that relational ability of like the likelihood of that person actually becoming a real threat, not just a fantasy delusion for my partner, very low. And you can't police somebody's thoughts.
Yeah. And I mean, it's another good example of where security will show a template of what a relationship can be. As I was mentioning, with underneath jealousy, there's insecurity that flares up. Yes. I would say, like, I would value a relationship template where both partners can regularly talk about very attractive other humans in their environment, mm-hmm. and not have any of it bring up jealousy or flags. Mm-hmm. And that also, like, little mini side note, that can be true about, like, I'm very comfortable going, yes, Channing Tatum is fucking gorgeous. You'll notice that as a straight male, I'm comfortable saying that because I'm secure in that. So there's also those kind of pieces where you say, oh, wow. And I'm kind of throwing out a little bit of a value, a little bit of what I recommend a template is relationships where both partners can acknowledge, yes, that person's very attractive, because that is showing we are secure and safe together. Doesn't mean you have to be there. I'm not saying like your relationship's wrong if you're not there, everyone's different, but I'd go, cool, what's the insecurity then?
Yes.
These are those little cues of behavior and thoughts and feelings that can help you go, oh, we don't feel comfortable sharing that with each other when we find someone else attractive. Huh. Yeah. What am I a little worried about? What's a little insecure for me? And let me do, like we've been saying all episode, look into that. What's the need you need met? What's going on really for you? And have a cool conversation with your partner.
And go into it with an open mind. That's what I will leave people with. Not everybody does the same things for the same reason you would, is a lesson I often teach to my clients. So go in with an open mind. Don't go in accusing, go in wanting to learn and understand what's behind it for you when your partner says something. And I have strong masculine energy, so I relate to the typical quote unquote male response with this, that they're like, I just said it. Like, there's no deep meaning behind it. There's no subtext. There's no like subliminal message I'm trying to send you. It's just a comment that flew out of my mouth. And if that is the case for any partner, and it's not okay with your other, like, it's not okay with your partner, or they're like, hey, while I'm trying to work through this, could you try your best to filter that? I'm not going to police your thoughts, but is there a way that you could best attempt you can make to filter that while I'm working through it, right? Let's collaborate on a healing. Okay, right? And if 8 out of 10 times they're able to tamp it down and you only hear it 2 out of 10 times, that could be a workable solution. So go into it with an open mind, be curious what comes up for your partner before they do or say what you're having trouble with, and then do your best to compromise or make an attempt. And if there's, we have a whole episode on willingness. I highly suggest listening to it. If there's unwillingness there, that is another conversation to have.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yes.
All right. We'll call that a show.
Yes.
Thank you everyone for listening. If you got questions for us or you want us to address a certain topic or relationship piece on a future episode, shoot us an email, ryanandtalia@thecouplesguidepodcast.com.
Yes. And you can tune into my weekly Q&As on Instagram @taliabambola. And if there's a question that's podcast episode length worthy, that's enough words, then type it in and we will save it for a future episode.
Yep. Thanks so much, everyone. Take good care.